Today's daf is Menachos Daf Samach Gimel. Today's shir is sponsored by Zev and Lisa Belsky, the Zeich Nishma, Zev's grandfather, HaRav Yehoshua Yitzchak Ben David Zatzal, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah, and we thank Zev very much for the sponsorship. We're holding at the very top of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Today we're going to Bez Hashem finish the fifth parak of Maseches Menachos and begin the sixth parak of Maseches Menachos. At the first mission we're going to deal with today discusses the difference between a Minchas Machvas and a Minchas Marcheshes. There are five different types of Karban Mincha that are Bab and Adava that a person can volunteer. Two of them are Machvas and Marcheshes. What exactly is the difference between a Minchas Machvas and a Minchas Marcheshes? And the Gemara is going to discuss where we know that difference from, how we were able to derive that difference exists. Then the second mission on the page, in the middle of the Amud, is going to discuss if a person commits Harei Alai B'Tanur, if he says he's going to bring a carbon that's baked in a tanur, so what are the different ways that he is or is not allowed to actually bake it? Meaning, what if he does something that's similar to a tanur, but it's not exactly a tanur? And the Gemara is going to discuss at what point the carbon mincha becomes kadosh. Does it become kadosh in the tanur, or does it become kadosh at some other point? And we're also going to discuss whether you're allowed to split a single carbon mincha between some chalos and some rikikin. It's a machlokas tanaim that we've already seen, we've already alluded to before, but this is the source of that machlokas tanaim. Do you have to bring 10 of one type, or can you have 5 and 5? And what are the limudim? Where would we derive any such halacha from? And then Be'ez Hashem will begin the sixth parak of Maseches Menachos, or at least it's the sixth parak in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos. And Maseches Menachos is actually put 10th. Sometimes you have that. You have differences in the order of the parakim in Mishnayos and the Gemara. And the parak of Rabbi Ishmael is going to deal entirely with the Minchas HaOmer. It's dafka going to be about the Korban Omer that we bring on the second day of Pesach. The Mishnah that we're going to see today is going to be about whether there's any difference or what the differences are between the Minchas HaOmer on a regular year and the Minchas HaOmer when the second day of Pesach falls out on Shabbos. What sort of adjustments do we make in order to possibly minimize the potential Chil Shabbos involved in bringing the Karban Omer. Nowadays, that would be halacha v'lo l'maisa, because even if we had a Beis Hamikdash, we already have a rule that lo badu Pesach. So you're never going to have the second day of Pesach, because the first day of Pesach never falls out on a Monday, a Wednesday, or a Friday, so the second day of Pesach never is going to fall out on Shabbos. But theoretically, it could happen, so the Mishnah discusses what would be if that were to happen. Okay, so let's see the Mishnah on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. So, HaOmer HaRei Alai B'Machvas. A person says he's going to commit to bring a Korban Mincha that's made in a Machvas. Lo Yavi B'Marcheshes. So he cannot bring a Korban Mincha that's made in a Marcheshes. B'Marcheshes, Lo Yavi B'Machvas. If he says he's going to bring in a Marcheshes, he cannot bring in a machvas. Ma bein machvas and marcheshes. What are the difference between these two kalim that we're describing, a machvas versus a marcheshes? Marcheshes yesh lakisui. Machvas ein lakisui. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that a marcheshes has a cover, a machvas does not. That's the difference. Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel omer, no, marcheshes amuka umaseh rochshin. The marcheshes is a deeper pan, and when you make a dough in it, it is rochesh, meaning since it's deeper, the shemen sort of sits in one place and it softens the dough. Machvas tzafa, the machvas is more of a flat pan that doesn't have any depth to it. Umaseh kashin, and the dough becomes harder because the shemen spreads out throughout the dough. It doesn't sit in any one place. That's how Rashi understands. The Rambam in the 13th parak of Maaser Kabbanos says that since a machvas doesn't have an edge, they had to make the dough very hard in order that it shouldn't spill over the sides, which is interesting. He understood not that it had a small edge, that it had zero edge. It wasn't just shallow, it was flat. It was like a pshute klimateches, which I guess becomes a kli because you use it and as a pshute klimateches and as makabel tuma. But that's how the Rambam understands the difference between a machvas and a marcheshes. These are the two deos in Tanaim of what the difference between machvas and marcheshes are, whether it's about whether it has a cover or whether it's about the depth of the pen. Not everyone, there are Rishonim, however, that suggest other differences between, well, actually, no, not between Machus and Marcheshes, that's later on. We'll get to that. Okay, so says the Gemara now. My time is Rabbi Yossi. What's the svar of Rabbi Yossi that the chiluk between, what's the source for Rabbi Yossi that the chiluk between Machus and Marcheshes is that a Marcheshes has a cover and a Machus does not? If you're going to say, oh, it's because Marcheshes comes for to be mechaper for the Avera of Hirhure Avera, that which is in your heart, which is covered, no one ever sees it, no one knows it, so that's the Lashon of Rachash, that it's Rikshe Alev, it's a secret. Kedichsiv, the Pasuk says, how do I know Rachash means a secret? The Pasuk says in Tehillim that Rachash Libi Dovar Tov, that my heart is moved to want to sing a Shira Takorosh Baruch Hu. So you see, the Lashon of Rachash is on what's going on in a person's heart, and that's why that mincha is brought in a pan that's covered, because the Rach She'alev are covered. It's only Hirurim. Umachvas ta'asya amachbuei hapeh, and machvas is not covered because it comes from averos that are done bepeh, like speaking with chilus, which is something that's evident as soon as you say it. So it's kedamri inshi minabeach nabuche, like people say that a kol that's yotze from the mouth is called a nevicha. So machvas, because we use the term nevicha. Where else in Shas we use the term nevicha? I think the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, when it describes the kolos of the shofar, uses the term nevicha as well. So it's something, it's a sound that comes out. So that's why it's going to be in a pan that's not covered. So maybe that's your svara. That's how you know what a marcheshes means, what a machvas means, based on whether it's something that's an audible sound or something that's only in a person's heart. But Eimei Ipcha, I could have made an argument in the exact opposite direction. I could have said machvas to asya amachbuei halev, that machvas actually means something that's secret, because dichsiv, the pasuk says when Yaakov runs away from the house of Lavan after he worked there for 20 years, so he runs away with his wife and with his cattle, with his sheep. So Lavan chases after him and says lama nachbeisa levravach. So you see, lashon machvas is something that's not godly, meaning you secretly ran away in the middle of the night. You know, well, why did you do that? So that's what Lavan was saying. So you see, machvas might have a lashon, might imply a lashon, something that's secret, that's hidden. Marcheshes, you could have said the other way, is not something that's secret and hidden like Rechushe Elev, but something that's evident, the Asya Arechushe, that it's something that comes about through Rechisha Sapeh, through something that's explicit, that's obvious. Kedamri Inshi have a Merachshan Sifsose. People say about a person whose lips are moving when you can't hear him, that Merachshan Sifsose, which means his lips are moving, you could see, it's evident, it's obvious. So it can't be that it's based on the wording alone that we figure out which one has a cover and which one does not have a cover, because you could make the argument in both directions. Ella Gemara Gemirila. How does Rabbi Yossi know which one has a cover, which one does not? He has such a tradition from his Rebbeim. That's the only way to explain it. It's Gemara Gemirila in the Ma'oros Hagra, in the Mishnayos. He says that the Gemara, the tradition that he had, is just not to say the opposite. But really, the reason for these names is what we said. It's just that Gemara Gemirila, meaning the Marcheshes, in fact, means Rechushe Alev, and Machvas, in fact, means Machvoy Hapah, right? That is actually correct. Gemara Gemirila, not to say the other way, meaning because you could have made a compelling argument in the other direction as well. The Achronim point out this Gemara has to go on the list of sugyas and shas that seem to be against the Rambam and Akdama to the Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam and Akdama to the Pirush Mishnayos says that you never have a machlokas on a halacha l'moshe misinai, that's sort of the raya to the strength of our tradition, that it's not that we can't get anything right and that's why there's always machlokas. No, the strength of our tradition is evident in halacha l'moshe misinai throughout all the generations. It's passed down purely balpeh, and yet we never ever find a machlokas on halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Chavis Yair has a tshuva where he gives a list of, I don't know, like 50 places where you have machlokas in halacha l'moshe misinai. Many of them like this, the Gemara never says the words explicitly that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara uses the term Gemara Gemirila. So that's what the Netziv writes in his Akdama to the Shiltos, that Gemara Gemirila probably does not mean halacha l'moshe misinai, even though Rashi consistently always says it does mean halacha l'moshe misinai. Gemara Gemirila might just mean a tradition from a much earlier generation, which often means it's halacha l'moshe misinai, because it means they had no explanation for it other than to say that's our tradition, it came from an earlier generation. So that a likely candidate is halacha l'moshe misinai, but it could have just been from earlier generations of Tanakh. Tanaim, and we forgot the explanation for the halacha, even though we know that it is in fact the halacha. Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel Omer, the Mishnah went on to say that Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel said that a marcheshes is deep and it's maaseh rochshin, a machvas is more shallow, it's maaseh kashin and had a harder dough. Marcheshes amukado, and a marcheshes is deep tichsiv v'kol naaseh b'marcheshes. So it sounds like it's inside the marcheshes, so it has some depth. Machvas safa tichsiv v'al machvas. A machvas is flat because it doesn't describe the carbon as being in the machvas, but on the machvas, because the machvas is something that's pretty flat. Tan Rabban v'shavei omrim ha'omer harei alai marcheshes. Let's say a person does not say harei alai bimarcheshes, that I'm going to bring a carbon in the marcheshes, which would imply that he's being noder a mincha that's made in a marcheshes. He says harei alai marcheshes. So what does that mean? So what does he do? So we'll explain that the suffix really is, does he mean to commit to donate an actual pan called a marcheshes, or is he committing to bring a carbon that's made in a marcheshes? So yemunach hashiyavo Eliyahu, there's nothing he could do to fulfill that neder, because we don't know what the neder means, and therefore you have to leave it till Eliyahu Hanavi comes, and Eliyahu Hanavi will be mevarer the suffix. Because Mesafklu Beishamai wasn't sure when you say the minchas machvas, minchas marcheshes, I al shum kli nikru, are they called based on the kli that they're made in? The minchas machvas is called based on the kli that it's made in, is called the machvas. Marcheshes is called the minchas marcheshes because the kli that it's made in is called the marcheshes. And if that's the case, when you say arei lai marcheshes, he's not being misnadev a carbon mincha at all. He's being misnadev a kli, a particular type of pan. Oh, al shumasehen. Or maybe marcheshes is rocheshes, machvas is kasha, and it's that's why they're called, the mincha is called that way, not based on the kli. And therefore, when the person says harei alei machvas, harei alei marcheshes, he doesn't mean the kli at all, but he means that particular type of karban. So the Gemara, so since we're not sure what he means, we have to wait until Eliyahu Hanavi comes and clarifies the issue for us. Tosos asks the obvious kasha: why wait for Eliyahu and say that it's ein lo takana? Why aren't you just be yotze both? Bring a kli marcheshes and the minchas marcheshes. The Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Kuf Zayin that if a person says pirashti ve'in yodeh ma pirashti, so he brings anything that's in the running, anything that's a possibility that he might have meant. So why don't you say the same thing over here? So Tosa suggests that maybe you have to make an okimta over here, that the person said ma'us elu or solas zu l'marcheshes, that he specifically identified this money is designated for the so it's only that money. That money has to be used for that purpose. We just don't know what that purpose is, and there's not enough money for both purposes. So you have to make such an ukimta. So that's Beishamai Shita. But Beisil Lomrim, Kli Ayyab Migdash, Marchesha Shema. There was a type of Kli that was called the Marcheshes. Vidomuk Min Kalbus Amuk. It was a Kli that was deep, and it had like two ends to it. It was like a semicircle type of Kli. Ukshe Batzak Munach Betocho, Domuk Min Tapuche Habresim, Uchmin Belute Hayevanim. And when you put the dough in it, since it had holes on the bottom of the kli, it was it looked like a certain type of rare fruit that they used to have. I don't know how rare it was, but a certain type of fruit that they used to have that I guess had indentations in it at the bottom. So that's why it's very clearly, according to Beis Hillel, a type of kli. Ve'omer, another raya that the kli itself is called the machvas of the marcheshes. The pasuk says v'kol nasi b'marcheshes v'al machvas. Alma al shuma kelim nikru v'lo al shuma aseim. It sounds like it's about the kelim and not about the carbon itself, because the Torah should have written al marcheshes and al machvas, or bimarcheshes and bimachvas. From the fact that the Torah distinguishes between marcheshes and machvas in the way we refer to putting something in it, so you see that there's a chilik in the kelim themselves, and that's what the carbon is called based on the type of kli that you're using. Now it is interesting over here that we're saying that according to the Beis Shammai you don't know what to do, and since you don't know what to do, you have to wait for Eliyahu Hanavi to come to be mevarer all of these sveikos. This is similar to what we were always taught, that teku means tishvi yitari tkushios vibayos, that all the sveikos that we're not sure, we wait for Eliyahu Hanavi to come and to be mevarer. In the Masifta, the Pnei Halacha, he quotes from the Mari Trushtlin, a remez l'davar min haTorah. It says, Hoil Moshe ba'eres haTorah. So how is the Torah going to be explained? Hoil. Hoil is Osios Eliyahu. That Eliyahu, the letters of the word Hoil, he's going to be the one that's Mevar the Torah. Now, the halacha, however, is the Gemara tells us in Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, Lo Bashamayimi, you're not allowed to paskin based on some sort of simin min Hashamayim, some sort of a os min Hashamayim. The Rambam paskins in Yisodi HaTorah, Perek Tes Halacha Dalit, that a Navi who comes and says that in the Dini HaTorah that Hashem was Mitzaveh, that the din is a certain way and the halacha is a certain way, and he got in the Nevuah that that's how we're supposed to paskin, it's a Navi Sheker, V'yichanek, he's Chayiv Chenek, you have to kill such a person. That's absolutely improper. There's no such thing as paskining al pi Nevuah. Even though he made an oath and he's able to make miracles, it doesn't matter. Lo bashamayim he. And Rashi writes this way in Masechta Shabbos as well, Daf Kuf Ches, Isra and Heter, not Tali and Eliyahu. The Torah is lo bashamayim. So all the Achronim ask the Kasha, how come we say the Yemunah Chashiyav Eliyahu? What's Eliyahu going to do for us? How's Eliyahu going to help us? So the Maariv Chayyus says that you'll find consistently that when Eliyahu Navi comes, he's Mevar Metzius. That a Nevuah could be Mevar Metzius. It can't be Mevar a Halacha. So over here it's a Metzius of what most people mean when they say Machvas, when they say Marcheshes. Maybe you could argue that that's called a Metzius, that that's not called a Halacha. You have sometimes Sfeikos and Dine Mamanis, where the Gemara says a lot of different things. The Gemara says when you have Sfeikos and Dine Mamanis, you have sometimes the Gemara will say Kol Da'olam Gavar, let them fight it out because we're not sure what to do. Mamna Mutva Safek Cholkin Sumchus, right? They split it. Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. You have Yemuna Chad Sheyavo Eliyahu. You have all sorts of different ways of dealing with Sfeikos, and the Rishonim really work hard. Gemara a little bit, and the Rishonim more really work hard in trying to figure out how to when you apply which of the rules of Sfeikos. But one of them is Yemuna Chad Sheyavo Eliyahu. So maybe that's because it's a Metzius issue. We're simply not sure who owes who the money or where the money belongs. So you wait till Eliyahu Navi is Mevayer the Metzius. But even some of the Achronim aren't even so pleased about that, to say that Eliyahu Navi is even able to be Mevar the Metzius. I think the more standard answer that they give is that when we say Eliyahu Navi is going to come and he's going to be Mevar the Sfeikos, it doesn't mean that he's going to do it al pi Nevuah. He happens to be a Navi. That's his profession. He's Eliyahu Navi. But he's also a Talmud Chacham, so he's going to paskin based on Halacha. But that's the Kasha that the Eima Barim Smecha quotes. If it's just based on his Chachmas HaTorah that he has, then why would we dafka choose Eliyahu of all people? Right? If it's the Nevuah, the Koch HaNevuah, I understand. Eliyahu Navi is going to come back and he's going to be the first functioning Navi that we're going to have. But if it's based on the Chachmas HaTorah, we're going to wait till Tchias HaBesim, why not have Moshe Rabbeinu? You know, right? The way Mechavrus always likes to say, Rabbi Raz always likes to say, it should be Meku, it shouldn't be Teku. Right? You should say Moshe Yitari, it's Kushias V'Yibayos. Not Tishbi, not Eliyahu Navi. So the Imam Banu Smecha says, no, because Eliyahu Navi lived throughout every generation. Eliyahu Navi never died. And in order to paskin the halachas of each generation, you have to be part of the generation. Otherwise, you're not going to understand the people of that generation and the halachas, the shailas that came up in that generation. That's what the Imam Banu Smecha was writing to explain why he went against the tradition of Doros, of Hasidic Rebbes, who he was very loyal to in general, that were very much against the idea of Zionism, and he wanted to say that that's because they didn't live through the Holocaust. If they would have lived through what he saw, then they would realize how necessary it is. Okay, so that's the suffix over here. So the Gemara says that machlokes b'sham b'silo. Okay, new Mishnah now. Harei alai b'tanur. A person commits to bring a mincha that's made in a tanur. So halacha is lo yavi ma'afa kupach. He should not bring a mincha that's baked in a kupach. A kupach is a small tanur that has only place for only one pot. Truth is, a real tanur also only has space for one pot, but a real tanur has much more intense heat because it's shaped like a cylinder, so the heat and the pot goes on top, so the heat all goes into this condensed area, whereas a kupach has just straight side walls, so it's not nearly the intensity of the heat is not as great. Velo mafarafim. Also, if you said you're going to bring a mincha that's made in a tanur, you're not allowed to bake it on tiles. They would heat up tiles and bake on the heat of the tiles. themselves. V'lo ma'afe yoros arviyim, nor can they use the pots of the arviyim that were apparently popular. Now, these different types of afios l'chora didn't exist in the Azara. So the Achronim raised the kasha. What's the discussion over here? Whether you're allowed to make the menachos in these types of pots? The Gemara is going to say later on that all menachos lishasan varichasan bifnim. You're supposed to do the kneading and the arranging of the dough bifnim. So when you're baking it, l'chora, if you bring it outside, it's a problem. It's already kadosh bifnim. So it's very special. Says that you have to say that after the lisha and the aricha, they did bake it outside, or the din of lisha v'aricha bifnim is only din l'chadchila, and we're talking about b'diavad if you didn't do that way, and you did it b'chutz, because they didn't have all these facilities of different types of baking and cooking in the azara itself. There was an oven, so that was it. That was what you had to do in the tanur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, rotza mevi mafa kupach. If you want, you could bring it baked in a kupach as well. That's close enough. That works as well. Harela minchas mafa. A person says he's going to bring a minchas mafa, which means he's going to bring 10 loaves of bread from an isaron of soles. Lo yavi mechza chalos mechza rekikin. You can't bring half chalos and half rekikin. You have to be consistent. Either 10 chalos or 10 rekikin. Rabbi Shimon matir mepneshu carbon echad. Rabbi Shimon says yes, you can, because it's all a single carbon, whether it's chalos and rekikin, and therefore you can mix and match. It could be 5 and 5, or 9 and 1, or any other ratio, as long as you get to 10 loaves in total. The Minchas Chinuch points out in Mitzvah Kuvta Zayin that they also argue when you have a neder to bring chalos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can only bring chalos. According to Rabbi Shimon, since it's a carbon echad, you could bring rekikin as well. Okay, says the Gemara now. Tanur Rabbanan. The Brisa elaborates on this machlokas. Mafa tanur v'lo mafa kupach v'lo mafa rafim v'lo mafa yoros harviim. When it says mafa tanur, it has to dafka be baked in a tanur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tanur Tanur Shnei Pa'amim, that it says Tanur twice, Lahachshir Mafa Kupach, and that's a ribui, and the ribui comes to tell me that Mafa Kupach is also okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Tanur Tanur Shnei Pa'amim, Echot Shetei Afiyasin B'Tanur, Ve'echot Sheyek Deishin B'Tanur. No, it says Tanur twice, one to tell me that the baking of the mincha has to be dafka in a Tanur, and not through any other method of baking, and the second time it says Tanur tells me that at the time that you give it kedusha, that the mincha gains its kedusha, it's the time of the baking in the tanur. The tanur is what's mekadesh the korban mincha. So you're left with no makor to learn that a mafa kupach is okay. We already use both times the pasuk says tanur. So in fact, the Gemara umiyas the Rabbi Shimon hay svara. Does Rabbi Shimon hold that a tanur is mekadesh the menachos? I mean, that's what he's using the second tanur to teach me. Vatnan, but we have a mishnah. Rabbi Shimon omer liol. That the place of the baking is in the Azara or in the Beis Pagi, which is outside of the Azara. So you see, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Tanur is not Mekadish the Menachos, because if the Tanur were Mekadish the Menachos, there would be a Psul Yotzei when they're outside of the Azara, once they're already baked in the Tanur, because anything that already has Kedusha Saguf is subject to Psul Yotzei. So Amarava Ema Sheyek Deshon Lushum Tanur. The second Tanur does not teach that the Tanur is actually what gives it Kedusha Saguf, but rather that when you are Makdish the Solas for use as a Korban Mincha, it should be with the intention of baking it in a Tanur. That's Rabbi Shimon's Shita. Harei Alei Minchas Mafa Lo Yavi Mechza. So we said in the Mishnah that if you say you bring a Minchas Mafa, you should not split between Mechza Chalos and Mechza Rekikin. It should not be half Chalos and half Rekikin. Rabbi Shimon says, sure you can, because it's all one Korban. Tanur Rabbanan. So the Braisa tells us as follows. When it comes to the Minchas Mafa Tanur, V'chi Sakriv, the Pasuk says V'chi Sakriv, and we darshan that Kishatakriv Lasos Tvar Rishus. When you want to do something, Miritzoncha, your own das, so you should do Karban Mincha, you should bring Karban Mincha, you want to make a Nadava, Karban Mincha is an appropriate Nadava. Rabbi Yehuda, minayin lo amar harei alei minchas mafa shelo yavi mechza chalos mechza rekikin. How do I know that you're not supposed to split half chalos and half rekikin? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Karban Mincha. And we learn from the fact that it says Karban B'lashon Yachid, Karban Echad Amarti L'chav L'shayim V'shalosha Karbanos, that it's one Karban, not two or three Karbanos. And when you bring two or three different Minim, it looks like it's two or three different Karbanos. That's why it needs to be one Min. So Amalo Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Karban Shnei Pa'amim. What does it say? Karban twice, when it talks about the Minchas Mafa, one for Chalos and one for Rekikin, V'alolo Nemarel Karban Echad. It only says one Karban, V'nemar Bo, and the Pasuk says Chalos Urekikin. So it says only one Karban, but yet it mentions both Chalos and Rekikin. Doesn't that imply that a single Karban is made up of both Chalos and Rekikin? Me'ata ratzalavi Chalos mevi. So if you want to bring Chalos, you bring Chalos, Rekikin mevi. And mechza Chalos, mechza Rekikin mevi. You want to bring half-half, that's also okay. Bolulan, and then bolulan, when you bring mechza Chalos, mechza Rekikin, after you bake it, you crumble it back into a flour type of substance, and you mix it together, the komit mishneim, and you take the kmitza from the crumbled mixture of the chalos and the rikikin, and if in that kmitza you only pull up from one of them, that's going to be fine, because it's balul, it's all together, it's all considered a single unit. But then there's a third shita. We've only had the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Bryce introduces a third shita. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda omer, minayin lomer harei minchas mafa shalo yavi mechza chalos mechza rikikin. How do I know that if a person says he's going to bring a minchas mafa, that he shouldn't do half chalos and half rikikin? Tabalomer v'kol mincha asher teyafeh betanur v'kol nasev mracheshes v'al machvas l'koyin ha-makriv al-so lo siyeh v'chol mincha v'lulu v'shem v'chareva v'chol b'nei Aaron tihiyah. So we learn ma v'chol amr lamata, just like the v'chol, it says at the end of the pasuk by the minchas marcheshes and machvas and by the mincha b'lul b'shemen and by the mincha chareva does not include things that are half of this and half of that, shnei minin chalukim, and they're different minim, but they're one karban. So too at the beginning of the pasuk when it talks about a mafartana that's made from both chalos and rikikin, shnei minin chalukin, they're considered to be two separate minim, and therefore you're not allowed to bring half of one and half of the other. It's got to be 10 chalos or 10 rikikin. So Rabbi Yehuda, Shapir Kam Rabbi Shimon. Okay, but going back to the first two shitos, Rabbi Shimon had a raya to his shita. He says, look, it only says the word karban once in the singular, and it mentions chalos and rikikin. Doesn't that imply that both chalos and rikikin can combine together to make up a single karban? So what's Rabbi Yehuda going to respond to that? So Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda would respond, Kevin d'chsiv bashemen, bashemen, kemen d'chsiv karban, karban dami. You're right, it only says karban once, but it's ki'ilu, it says karban twice, because it says bashemen twice. So that's ki'ilu, it says karban twice, one for chalos, one for rikikin. Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon not agree to that, that it says bashemen twice? Isn't that the same as saying karban twice? So the Gemara explains, no, ilo k'siv bashemen, bashemen, had it not said the word bashemen twice, hava amina, Dafka mechza chalos mechza rikikin. Rabbi Shimon says, you know what I would have thought? That not that you're allowed to, you're permitted to bring some of them as chalos and some of them as rikikin, but that's the only way you can bring it with mechza chalos and mechza rikikin. Aval chalos chaday rikikin chaday emelo. I would think to bring all chalos or all rikikin, no good. Kamash Milan, that's why the pasuk has to tell me by repeating the word shemen that you're allowed to bring in three different ways. You can bring purely chalos, purely rikikin, or some combination of the two. But it's not coming to tell me that they're mamish two separate karbanos, the way Rabbi Yehuda understood that you're not allowed to bring from two separate minim. The mitzvah Eisan and Rabbi Elazar Moshe Hurwitz in the back of the Gemara explain that this machlokas without the repeating of the word shemen, whether we would have said to bring dafka chalos or rikikin is telling on whether you need o l'chalek, meaning in general we have sugi and shas when do you need the word O to tell me lechalik, to tell me that there are two separate options, or even without the word O, we know it on our own just by multiple options being mentioned, like chalos and rikikin. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, hainu avua. So it says Gemara, you know, we sort of introduced in the Brisa that there is this third shita, but the third shita sounded very much like the first shita. I mean, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda sounds very much like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, of his own father, Rabbi Yehuda. According to both of them, you cannot bring half chalos, half rikikin. So in what way are they disagreeing with each other? Says Gemara, ikibinayu diyavad. The chiluk between them is, what if you already did it? Meaning, what if you already brought from shnei minim, half chalos, half rikikin? So apparently, the way the Rishonim explain, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who learns from Karban Echad, you're yotzei. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, who learns from the comparison to the menachos that are blula and chareva, you're not yotzei. But why? What would give you that indication? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, you are Yotzei, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're not Yotzei? So the Karen Ora asked the Kasha, why is it that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be Kasha B'diavad? You didn't do right. You didn't do what you were supposed to bring. Where do you ever find? Yeah, it's true that in Kachin we generally have a din of Shana Lava Kasav La'akev, and if the Torah doesn't repeat a requirement, it's not Ma'akev. That's in the details of a specific, that's in the details of a Chiyuv. You have a basic Chiyuv, and then some of the details, you're not sure which details are Ma'akev, which are not. So Shana Lava Kasav, when it says it twice, it's Ma'akev. But if you bring the wrong stuff, if you bring the wrong thing, it's like saying, you know, I didn't bring an esrog, but it's okay, I brought a watermelon. I used a watermelon instead. I don't see Shana Lava Kasav La'akev. What do you mean? You just didn't do the mitzvah. That's not what it is. You didn't bring the right thing. So the Karen Nora doesn't understand. He asked the Kasha, why would it be Kasha B'diavad? If according to Yehuda, you just brought something that's just the wrong thing. So he says B'diavad means, he said, Harei Alai Mincha Mechza Chalos Mechza Rekikin. That even though you said Stam, Harei Alai Minchas Mafa, you're not allowed to bring, when you say Harei Alai Minchas Mafa, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says is Din, that you're only allowed to bring Chalos or Rekikin. But maybe B'diavad means that in your Neder, that's what you committed to, is Mechza Chalos Mechza Rekikin. If that's what you committed to, then that's what you're allowed to bring, because that is your chiyuv now. That becomes your chiyuv. That's what b'diavad means. Not that you had a regular carbon where you should have brought 10 chalos and instead you split 50-50. That would not work, says the Karen Ora. Why are we so certain that Rabbi Yossi is the one that's being more machmir and says that even b'diavad you're not yotzei? So Rashi explains that since Rabbi Yossi learns from belula v'chareva, so just like a belula, which is a minchas nedava, and a chareva, which is a minchas chote, even b'diavad, if you mix them together, they're going to be pasul, because by the minchas chote it says lo yasam ala shemen, and if you do put shemen in a minchas chote, it's pasul. So too, the chalas and the rikikin b'diavad are going to be pasul. Rabbeinu Gershom says that's too fancy. No, we always just assume that the later opinion is coming to be mosif on the earlier opinion. So if the earlier opinion and the later opinion disagree about something, the later opinion is the machmir one. That's always the way we. That's just the natural sequence of how the mishnayos and the brisos are typically set up. So what do we say over here? That you have chalos, you have rikikim. The difference between them, Minchas Chinuch says, is that they're essentially the same, but chalos are nivlolos with the shemen, and rikikim are not nivlolos with the shemen, they're nimshachim with shemen. You put shemen on the surface of them instead of mixing it into the actual dough. It sounds that way from Rashi as well. The Ibn Ezra, though, on Chumash, the Ibn Ezra in Vayikra has two other perushim, what the difference is between chalos and rikikim. And the first one is that chalos are avos, rikikim are dakim, chalos are thick, rikikim are very thin. And the second one is that chalos are agulos, are round. The lashon chala means chalila, like chozer chalila, in a circle. So chalos means something that's round. So whereas rikikim are not round. So in the Yafel Lelev, he discusses what shape our Shabbos chalos are supposed to be. So the classic Shabbos chalos are shaped as a long, like the shape of a letter Vav. Whereas now they make a lot of Yantiv chalos classically were always round because the bakers didn't have time to braid. So they, because it was Yantiv, it was so busy. So they made round chalos. That's probably the reason. But you could also charge more for less dough. But the classic Yantiv chalos were. So is there any basis to this? So he quotes from the Kitzur Ashla in the name of the Mekubalim. The Shabbos chalos should dafka be shaped like the letter Vav, and when you're botzei, b'shtei yadav, which each of your hands has five fingers, so it's two times five, and the prusas hamotzi is the os yud, meaning when you cut off the little piece from the end for the hamotzi, that's the yud, because the yud is just a little clump, a little piece. So if you have the yud of the prusas hamotzi and the two times five fingers, that's another ten plus the os vav, that's the shem avaya. So it's all a remez to the shem Hashem in the chalos. In Kaf HaChaim he writes that when he was young, he was told by the author of the Sefer Aruch Mishpat that the chalas that you have for three meals on Shabbos, on Lel Shabbos, he went through like a dafka, that they had to be, the dafka of different shapes and different whatever you need, api kabbalah, for these different things. But it's interesting that we say that chala, by definition, according to the Ibn Ezra, means something that's round. So that's in the Likutei Amarim Tahorim, he's quoted here in the Panini Alach section of the Masifta, he says that in many places, the Shabbos after Pesach, they make round chalas, because when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were chayiv in a carbon toda. Pesach, you can't bring a carbon toda because there's chametz in the carbon toda, that we know. That's one of the only two carbonos that have chametz in it. So they had to first bring the carbon toda right after Pesach. So they had to bring chalos chametz, and chalos toda were agulos, according to the Ibn Ezra. That's the definition of chalos, that they were round. So such a minute to make dafka round chalos on the first Shabbos after Pesach. The discussion whether matzahs have to be round, or matzahs also called chalos. Okay, but not for now. So Hadron Alach Kol Menachos. Let's begin the sixth parak now of Maseches Menachos. So again, as we mentioned before, the sixth parak is going to deal entirely with the Korban Omer. Korban Omer was brought from Sa'orim, not from Chitim, and it was harvested on Tezai Nisan, on the second day of Pesach, on the nighttime of the second day of Pesach. So the Mishnah is going to discuss what changes when it's brought on Shabbos. So Bishmal Omer, Omer Ayubab Shabbos Mishalosh Se'in, Bechol Michamesh, that the amount of flour, of grain that they would start with, in order to refine it to the point that they have clean flour, so on Shabbos they would use three Se'in of Sa'orim that they would harvest and that they would sift in order to get a good isaron of kemach that they could be makriv. But when it was on a weekday, they would start with five se'in of sa'orim. V'chamrom echad Shabbos v'echad chol mishalosh hayaba, that whether Shabbos or a weekday, whatever day the second day of Pesach fell out on, it was always three se'in of flour. Rabbi Chanina Skana Konim Amar b'Shabbos ayeniktzar b'yachid u'b'magal echad u'b'kupa achas. On Shabbos, it would be only one person doing the harvesting, and he would use one kli to do the harvesting, and he would put all of the grain into one box. U'b'chol, but on a weekday, b'shlosha, b'shalosh kupos, b'shalosh magalos. There would be three people using three boxes and three kelim to do the harvesting. And the reason they wanted to do that is to be mefarsim, that having three people makes a bigger deal of it, the Rishonim explained, and they wanted to be mefarsim that the Korban Omer is brought on the day of Tes Zayin Nisan, because that was a big sichsuch, that was a big discussion, a big debate with the Baitusim. The Baitusim said, no, you bring the Korban Omer mimachras HaShabbos, on the day after Shabbos, it's always got to be a Sunday. And the Chacham said, no, it's Tes Zayin Nisan. So we wanted to dafka show them when it really is. The Rambam in the Perashat Mishnah says another reason that they would use three people dafka for these avodos is so that they can get it done more efficiently, and so they can get it done in a more quick fashion, which lechora is the pashut pshat. According to Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, they would be memait in the ketzira as much as possible, so that they won't have to do as much malacha on Shabbos. So only one person would be doing it, because why would we have three people being mechal Shabbos if you could have one person being mechal Shabbos? So we would try not to, and that's why we'd have. He'd cut less grain in order to, because why would you cut a massive amount of grain? Cut the bare minimum of what you need, because we're always trying to be memayit as much as possible the potential chil Shabbos. So it says more bishlam Rabbanan. I understand the Rabbanan would say that it's always shalosh se'im kasavri isar mulchar b'shalosh se'in asi loshem b'chav loshem b'Shabbos. So that's how you get a good isar and a flower. El Rabbi Shmuel, my kasavri. But what does Rabbi Shmuel hold? I kasavri isar mulchar loasi al mechav. chamesh, afil b'shabbos nami. If you need chamesh se'in in order to create one good isor in a flower, then you should need that on Shabbos as well. V'ish v'shalosh asi afil b'chol nami. And if you can get out of three se'in one good isor in a flower, then even on a weekday you should do that. So why the difference? Amar Rava kasav Rabbi Shmuel isor mivchar below tircha asi b'chamesh. You don't have to sift it as many times to get five. From five to get one isar on a flower, but tircha asi mishalosh. But if you're willing to put in a lot of work in the sifting, then three se'in can produce one isar on a flower. So b'chol ma'isin on lichamesh on a weekday we bring from five se'im of saorim tachi shvicha milsa, because that's the better way to do it. That the isar of omer should be the most muvchar, should be the most sifted and clean. B'shabbos mutav shi'arba b'malach achas b'harkada va'al yarba b'malach sarbe. But on Shabbos, we'd rather you do one malacha a lot, the sifting a lot, rather than bring five se'im, which require a lot of different malachas, because you need the ketzira, and you need to be zora, and you need the borer, and the tochin, and merakit. It would be all of that on two extra se'im. So we'd rather not do that. We'd rather just have you do a lot more sifting in order to come out with your one isaron of good flour. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up from the bottom tomorrow.